The shooting, he's been identified as 50-year-old volunteer fire chief Corey Comparator. Two others were hurt. President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris are being briefed on the investigation into the shooting. This is ABC News. The world remembering Richard Simmons after the weight loss and self-help guru died at 76. ABC's Chris Connolly says he was known for his relentless positivity and optimism.
Richard Simmons was America's most popular and irrepressible fitness advocate, an energizer bunny of ceaseless encouragement. Richard Simmons' concern for the health of his public was very real. His advocacy on behalf of kids' self-esteem, even leading him to testify before Congress years ago.
I wanted to make sure that they knew the other side of Richard Simmons. And I put a suit on and I went to Washington. And people told me I looked good. And that I sounded good and I made sense. And that's going to be my legacy.
A new dinosaur is going on display at the Los Angeles Natural History Museum called Natalie because of the bugs that swarmed when the dinosaur was dug up. Notable because it has green bones. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic. Reliable. Just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back to New Wisco Weekend. Once again, here's Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Lisa Hale.
Peter and Tracy Flukey are a married couple who recently bicycled from Green Bay to New York City. That's right, they pedaled their way to the Big Apple. They appeared on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show to talk about their adventures, and here's part of that interview with Jim Schmidt and Frank Hermans.
It took us 29 days, and we had 5 days off the bike, and we averaged about 55 miles a day, put in about 1,500 miles total.
How many hours is that? A day,
you know, it varies anywhere from
probably four to six and a half, something like that.
Biking 4 to 6 hours?
Yeah, that's butt time on the bike.
Yeah.
I like that, butt time. So you're going about...
First time ever I've said that.
All right.
Butt time.
Butt time. So you're going like 11 to 13 miles per hour, right?
Right.
I'm doing math in my head. I don't know if that's right.
It was really interesting on this trip because we had a lot of big cities. And when you're going through the big cities, lots of stop signs, you know, slow moving traffic. So we were averaging probably 12 miles per hour.
Okay.
But then we'd get out to Pennsylvania and we had those insane hills.
Yeah.
Guess what our average speed was?
What?
12 miles an hour.
Really?
It's like.
Because it's got to go up.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting to see how different things affect our speed.
You know, we talk about biking and we're trying to get more people to bike. I mean, in the state of Wisconsin, right? They have this gold, silver, bronze recognition and. The guy that really got that going was the mayor of Madison.
Cheslevich.
That's what it was. Yeah. And he had dogs.
It's Polish.
he started this whole recognizing communities, and he had Trek was a big, obviously a big supporter of his. And Madison is a gold star because they really focused on it. But, I mean, you guys are elevating the awareness of bicycling, I think, in Brown County. I mean, I think everybody, a lot of people know who you are. What did you learn or did you see anything along the way? I mean, 30 days on a bike. Did you see anything that maybe we could do here? Or
absolutely. I mean, some of the big cities had some amazing accommodations for bicycles and pedestrians. New York City has actually taken away motor vehicle lanes and made them into pedestrian areas and bike lanes. So, yeah, we have a lot to learn. We can make our community, Northeast Wisconsin, that much more bicycle and pedestrian friendly. to encourage people to get out and educate them and get them out on their bikes.
When you plan these trips, I mean, you're looking for the lanes, I mean, on the highways, because some of those state highways, hey, I live in Brilliant. Bikers are going down Double P all the time.
I know.
Right? Yep. And there's just so much area.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So the three things that we look at is we look at the width of the lane.
Okay.
So that's whether there's a bike lane or even just if it's, you know, 14 feet wide as opposed to 12 feet.
Okay.
We look at how much traffic there is and then the speed of the traffic. Those are the three things. And depending on how you put them together, it makes it either very nice for bicycling or it makes it horrible. Yeah. So.
I was a little bit, when you left and we said goodbye, you know, good luck. I was a little worried about you, not because of your physical health and but I don't think pedestrians, my pedestrians, vehicles, trucks especially, it's hard to see you. And that bike's so low. How was the safety of it?
Yeah, it was remarkably good. Mm-hmm. And in the big cities, we had that slow, congested traffic. So that's really not that hard. We just line up with all the other slow, congested traffic, and that's fine. Okay. On the big roads, the highways, we almost always had really good shoulders. And the interesting thing, though, was in Pennsylvania, narrow, twisty, turny roads. But the thing that I hadn't thought about is around here, we're not used to that kind of driving, but that's what they do all day, every day there. So as long as we made ourselves visible, the flashing taillight, bright colored clothing, the motorists were looking for obstructions on the road because they might have an Amish cart out there. They might have farm equipment. So as long as we're doing our part, they're used to looking, and it was very easy. And the really cool thing, if you've ever been out in farm country or in hilly country, what you'll do is you can't see over the crest of the hill. But as soon as you can, you give the car behind you a wave and let them know so that they can pass and move around. Once we started doing that, it was just bang, bang, and everybody was really happy. It was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, they were really good about either waiting behind us until they could clearly see or until it was a clear path, or passing us really wide. You know, they'd go around us and give us lots of space. So Pennsylvania was great. The drivers were just amazing out there. We wish that some of that would come to Wisconsin because, you know, some of the roads out here, people pass really close and they don't wait.
We always say that biking and walking are sort of like the canary in a coal mine. So for us going into communities that we've never been in before, you know, we can pretty quickly assess, you know, what they're doing for their own people based on how easy it is for us on a bicycle to find the resources we need. If we can't find food and water, if it's not safe for us to get down a street or cross a road, the people that live there all day, every day, they're suffering worse than we are.
You know what I'd like to talk about? You got the tandem machine that you're using. You yourself are a machine.
Yeah.
And you say, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. What are you doing to get your body prepared for these trips? Because with the quads, with the hamstrings, with, you know, you're using a lot of the butt time, as you call it. How are you preparing yourself for these long trips?
You know, we start training about 6 months before.
Okay.
I mean, we're active all the time, but we do a regular training regime, I guess, 6 months before. What we eat is huge on the trip and before we go. We need the carbs during the day so we can go, and we have Clif bars and we have different energy bars on board. We have Gatorade, water. And then at the end of the day, the thing that's really important is getting protein on board. Yeah. So we stop at the end of the day at a gas station and pick up, you know, cheese or yogurt or
chocolate milk. Eggs.
Yep, okay. And just get that protein, because especially when you're going day after day after day, your body breaks down and you need that protein to rebuild the muscle.
I think one of the other points, though, for everybody in your everyday life, I very seldom take an elevator. I almost always go find the stairs. We biked down here today when we could have driven, and I commented to Tracy, for us doing 6 miles, it's not even particularly noteworthy. But when you have ridden, you know, 75, 80, 100 miles, and you've got 6 more miles to go at the end of the day, we know we can do that because we do it all the time. That's routine for us. So we're taking all these little things that we do all day, every day. And what it does is the cumulative effect allows us to do really neat things like, you know, ride our bike to New York City.
Right. So I don't know that people, and a lot of people follow you. I was surprised because I go out and, oh, yeah, that's great. The Flukies that you have.
I kept telling you this was a thing.
Yes, and they people really enjoyed that. But for those, I mean, not everyone's going to go to New York or you. Did you go down to New Orleans too? Or where did you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. We biked all of the Mississippi River.
Right.
1 year, we've done the northern tier of the United States. We've also done historic Route 66.
Wow. But the what you said is akin to even if you just bike around town, you see more.
It's a different perspective.
It's a different perspective. People,
right.
It mentioned, you know, when we go to mayor school, they tell you to walk your city. Don't just drive around. Walk.
Mayor school?
Yeah.
What's that? Wait, it's a convention. You go to how to be.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know it was mayor school.
But it was that was one of the things, which is really, really true. If you think about it, you know, you walk or bike.
So, you know, that I used to be a park ranger in Minnesota. And one of the things I would do when I had a new property that I was trying to get familiar with, the first thing I'd do is get in my squad car and I would drive everywhere I could on road. And then I'd start sneaking through alleys and things like that. But then I would hop on the ATV. Yeah. And start going to those places. Then I would take the bike. Then I would walk. And it's amazing. Sometimes, you know, there's a road over here and, you know, half a block away, there's another road, but you didn't know they were that close until you went out and walked that day. So we know all those little sneaky places that you can cut through on your bike here to, you know, make it more preferential to go places by bike.
That's great as a teenager. Do you know where to park? You know,
absolutely.
You gotta find those places. When you're biking, do you guys have headsets where you can talk to each other?
No, we've talked about getting them because our hearing is getting worse as we grow older. But we haven't tried them yet, but a lot of tandem riders do use them. Okay. And it's easier to talk because especially when it's really windy, it's very difficult to hear each other. And we use a lot of hand signals sometimes or taps on the back or he'll, you know, do signals or one word things so that we catch each other. But yeah, it is tough sometimes to hear each other on the tandem.
And communication's weird, too, because so much communication, like you and I are looking at each other right now, and you're kind of going, oh, Peter wants to say something?
Correct.
Tracy's behind me. I can't see her, and she can't see my facial expression. So it's very interesting.
Speaking of that, are you always in the front, or do you guys... Tracy
can be the captain. She can ride in front.
Okay.
Typically, the bigger, more experienced, stronger person goes in front, but we're fairly even in ability. She just likes to be on the back. I like to be on the front.
Okay.
All right, we're talking with Peter and Tracy Fluky here, who are, I don't know, what would we, you would be the
biking
premier
gurus.
Right, the biking gurus of the state of Wisconsin, if not more than that, at webike.org. Just finished a trip from here to New York, and we're just talking about that biking. You don't have to go to New York just to bike here. How would you rate our community?
So the three things that we typically evaluate on are education, engineering, and enforcement. So when we moved to northeastern Wisconsin back in 1993, there wasn't a single lane of recreational trail or bike lane. And now people are complaining because the East River Trail and the Fox River Trail don't connect, right? We're doing a big rehab project on the Fox River Trail. So our infrastructure is coming along. Having said that, though, it is very difficult for somebody from out of town to get from one place to another. The education... If we don't tell people how we want them to act and behave and what's safe, why should we be surprised if they don't do that? And then the enforcement, the biggest problem we have is speed, because the faster people go, the more dangerous it is for people that walk and bike.
Wow. But don't you think trails is kind of the answer to that? I mean, shouldn't we invest more money in bike trails, or is that just the infrastructure too expensive?
You know, bike trails are great, but if you want to commute to work, is there a trail that's going to take you to work? Probably not. You're going to have to ride on the road at some point. And the thing that we need to remember in our transportation system is that bicyclists and walkers want to get to the same place that motor vehicle drivers do. Right. You want to get to the gas station. You want to get to the library. And a lot of our roads don't allow that safely.
The Flukies were guests on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show, airing weekdays from 6 till 9 a.m. on WISS. Getting older isn't for the faint of heart. New Wisco Weekend correspondent Amanda Nimmer shares free ways to celebrate your birthday.
What if I were to tell you that you're celebrating your birthday all wrong? Well, you know, probably not. You're probably doing something really cool. But what if I told you you can make your birthday even better than it already is? Let's explore that. Did you know that for just entering the world so many moons ago, you qualify for some free items? Birthday freebies, actually. And if you didn't, let me tell you about it. And if you did and you're thinking, I don't really need these, listen anyway, because this might change your mind. There are so many different companies that have a birthday or loyalty program, and it doesn't take much to be included, usually just an email address. Now, I know you're probably not interested in mucking up your personal email, and that's why I recommend you create a secondary email just for the year's worth of emails that don't mean much to you. Because let's face it, you're only going to check this 1 month out of the year. My birthday was at the end of June, and every year I look forward to my birthday freebie roundup. I spend the morning of my birthday going around and collecting all my freebies, and then I use them throughout the week. The majority that I'm going to be talking about are food items, but hey, free is free. We don't turn down free. Let's get started. The day before my birthday, I went to Old Chicago in Green Bay. As being a part of their rewards and dining at least once during the year, you get $18 to use on your birthday toward a pizza. The following day, I started off by going to Starbucks because you can only redeem that on the day of your birthday. And get yourself a free drink. Any size, any flavor, any extras. Starbucks wants you to treat yourself. After that, head on over to Freddy's Steakhouse, get yourself a little treat. I got a burger. Then head on over to Taco Bell and get yourself a Baja Blast Freezy. Go to McDonald's after that, and they like to switch it up. Last year, I got a cinnamon roll. This year, I was able to get a McChicken. Then go to Buffalo Wild Wings, because this was one of my personal favorites. You get yourself 6 free wings. Free wings on your birthday. Bone in, bone out, any flavor, delicious. Heat up well in an air fryer. Head on over to Crumble after that for your free birthday cookie. Then go to Scooters and get another drink. Coffee, tea, refresher, lemonade, your pick, your choice, your birthday. Jersey Mike's subs, you get a free sub that they only let you redeem the day of your birthday because that's when the points will enter your account. Then Qdoba, you get free chips and queso. You go to Nothing Bundt Cake and get a little buntlet cake. It's adorable. This was new for me this year and I highly recommend it. Do not turn this down. Potbelly, you can get yourself a free cookie. Then go to Firehouse Subs because the day of your birthday only, you get a free sub. You got to download the app for that one. Go to Noodles and Company and you can get a free cookie or a Rice Krispie treat. Go to Chick-fil-A, get a free cookie or a brownie. Perkins, you get a free Magnificent 7 breakfast meal. And then a couple days later, I went to AMC, got myself my free birthday popcorn. I then went to Culver's and got a one scoop, one topping ice cream. Baskin Robbins, I got a one scoop ice cream. And A&W, you get a free root beer float. Now, if you were counting with me, that was 20 items. But the number's going to be 21 pretty soon for me because I'm going to go to Cousin Subs and get my free sub. I might even do it when I'm finished recording this. And that's where I'll stop. There are so many more out there. There are buy one, get one offers, coupons, you name it, you can find it. Do the research and you can make your birthday even more special than it already is. All you got to do is create a secondary email account. So go treat yourself. It's your birthday. Do it right. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go.
Coming up in just a moment on New Wisco Weekend, Terry Barr takes us on a musical journey with Christian Love.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I want to talk about dealing with debt collectors and your rights when you are in collections. Debt collectors are people who've been hired to collect money that you owe to someone else. They can be persistent or rude or sometimes worse, but they do have to follow rules. Federal law says that they cannot call before 8 a.m. in the morning or after 9 p.m. at night. They cannot harass you, meaning they can't curse at you or threaten you. And they cannot lie to you or make up consequences for not paying your debt. And they can't tell anyone other than your spouse or your attorney about your debt. Now, if you experience any of this, you can complain about them to the Federal Trade Commission at consumer.gov. And last thought before I go, you can always ask a debt collector to stop calling you. Legally, they have to comply. If they don't, you report them to the FTC. For more money tips, go to workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Whether it's a picnic in the park or a cool and easy dinner, when it's too hot to cook, sandwiches in summer go together like peanut butter and jelly. And there's no better bread to build your favorite sandwich on than Country Hearth Natural Breads. Try their Dakota-style 12-grain or 100% whole wheat bread. Bake the old-fashioned way with whole grains and real honey. Country Hearth Hearty Breads are not only a nutritious choice for your family, but a delicious one too. Country Hearth Breads, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. The Beach Boys just cruised through Northeast Wisconsin on their summer tour, and the newest member took the time to sit down with our Terry Barr. She learns what Christian Love thinks about playing with his dad's band. Here's Terry's interview, which kicks off with Christian's song, Crazy For You.
The cold wind blows every time that you're fooling around. I'm crazy for you, and all the things I do, and every time school, oh, I just want to stay in the room all day with you. Think about you late at night, but I'm still with you. You always seem to get it right, every day and every single night. Do you really want to know what I'm feeling about you? I'm crazy for you, and all the things we do, and every time school, oh, I just want to stay in the room all day with you. Think about you late at night, but I'm still with you. We always seem to get it right, every day and every single night. Girl, there's stars when I'm just fooling around, and I don't wanna wait around for your phone call. And the beat comes down every time that I hear that sound. And I don't wanna wait around, 'cause I'm crazy for you. And all the things we do, and every time school, oh, I just wanna stay in the room all day with you. Think about you later.
Join me in welcoming Christian Love. Christian, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Hello, everybody.
We just heard your song, Crazy For You. Tell us about this song.
This is a song I think I wrote maybe about 3 years ago out on the road. And it was about my girlfriend being a little bit lonesome out on the road and wondering what she's doing and this and that. It's one of those kind of songs. It's just kind of like sort of a love song, but sort of sad, but sort of happy too.
I want to mention that, yes, you are on tour and you are out with the Beach Boys. Wonder why that is.
There might be some lineage there. I don't know.
Yeah, if our listeners have ever heard of Mike Love, that would be your dad. And he's one of the original Beach Boys. Do they actually get a chance to play any of your songs, or are you on tour to really help support them?
Well, yes, definitely on tour to support my dad's music and his legacy. But also, he's given me the chance to play one of my own songs in the set.
I want to ask you a little bit about your backstory. You know, you grow up the son of Mike Love of the Beach Boys. Do you decide, I want to be a musician when you're a little kid?
I think when I decided I wanted to be a musician was in high school, watching MTV.
When they played videos.
Yeah, they played videos. Yeah, I really got inspired by a lot of the 80s bands. I started wanting to write songs myself.
So I'm happy to hear that the Beach Boys and your dad, that you get to play one of your songs with them. But do you have a favorite Beach Boys song?
That's a hard to choose. But if I had to choose one, I would say the most well-crafted, in my opinion, is Wouldn't It Be Nice? And, you know, the crowd always instantly, as soon as you play the intro riff, is like always so soon to stand up and dance. And if there's one song that gets the party started, I would say.
What does it feel like to be out there with your dad?
It's been a great way to really connect with my dad. For a good portion of my life, I was doing my thing at home and he was out on the road. So this has just been a great way to get closer and to be able to spend more time with my dad, which has been really great.
I am very lucky talking with Christian Love right now. And of course, Christian has his own music out, but he is also the son of Mike Love, one of the original Beach Boys, and he is on tour with them right now. Christian, we're going to end this interview with Some Summer. I mean, this song does not get better for the summertime. Tell me about this song.
This song was a song that I recorded after a session in Pasadena. This song started going through my head. I laid the music down and then I just started firing off some words.
All right, Christian, I'm going to say goodbye to you for now. And we are going to hit it here with Some Summer.
Yeah, baby.
We can work it all out. Baby, we can watch the waves in the sunrise. You're the feelings that we hold inside.
In the some summer, we did it all last summer. In the some summer, we did it all last summer.
You could be my ocean lover, 'cause baby you won't blow my cover. I'm all over this.
I can feel it when we kiss. In the some summer.
It's all in the ocean.
Did it all last summer.
We're swimming in the ocean.
In the some summer.
It's all in the ocean.
Did it all last summer.
We're swimming in the ocean.
Late night parties and friends we knew, we always bounce right back.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced and directed by Todd Michaels, written by Lisa Hale, features correspondents Terry Barr, Brittany Merlot, Conrad Krieger, and Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by Jim Schmidt, Frank Hermans, Peter and Tracy Flukey, and Pete Schwaba. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS News. Be unstoppable.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers. And the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, lean left, lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
Snow accumulations will be light at first.
When you need to know what to expect from the weather,
widespread throughout the southern half of the state, we're looking at 5 to 8 inches.
You can count on the Civic Media team of meteorologists led by Brittany Merlot to track the snow and the impact.
This will be a heavy, wet, slushy, sloppy snowfall that'll be heavy to shovel.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
You're listening to Milwaukee Brewers Baseball on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS.
Signature Homes was founded about 25 years ago. Shortly after we started our real estate business, we realized there was a need for new construction. So many times we're out showing property to buyers and they aren't finding what they're looking for. And if we can't find them what they're looking for, we need to have another option. And so we started to customize homes and really make them specific to the customer's needs. That model has grown over the years. We started with building just a few homes and now we're building 30, 35 homes a year. We have showrooms in all of our locations. If you just want to walk in and learn more about our building company, we can do that.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well eventually.
They said they can go to get informed on these various issues. I'm not trying to make it the funniest podcast in the world. I'm not trying to make it like the sexiest podcast in the world, but I am trying to give people information that they can take and have it be part of like their media diet. Now, the other side of that is like, it's not hitting those triggers in people as much. Like the, if I went super far down one path and was like, this is the way to feel on this issue, it might get bigger numbers. So I'm trying to live in this area in the middle intentionally, hoping that this is kind of like a bridge where whatever side of the political aisle you're on, you can at least ingest this information.
Right.
And I'm trying to use my journalism skills or training or whatever to just get information across. But, you know, I think we'll see over time. I think it's going to take a lot of things like this. I don't think one media outlet, I'll take mine as an example, that sits in the middle is going to be enough to, and by sits in the middle, I just mean doesn't have, tries to yeah. not have a slant. Or if I have a bias, I try to come out with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying to find places where information can be consumed, I think is going to take a lot of people, you know, going into issues that they care about and honestly presenting them and having honest conversations with other people and sharing things that are just delivering facts about a certain topic. It's a hard thing to do as a consumer.
Yeah.
It's a hard, because you don't have that, that knee jerk reaction of, oh my gosh, I've got to share this with this person because this is definitive. It's like, we are all in this gray area and we're just trying to bring facts and information to be king again and not entertainment.
Right.
Not rage.
Right.
You know, and not hard bias.
Yeah.
Because at the end, I'm trying to seek out as much truth as possible and just let people do with that truth what they will.
Right.
As opposed to trying to influence, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you made a really important distinction when you talk about you know, being sort of in the center and down the middle, not ideologically. That's not, I think, what you're saying. You're saying that you want to create a space where information from different perspectives can be shared. And I highlight that distinction because too often we describe someone who wants to be a bridge builder, someone who wants to have conversation across difference, as someone who doesn't have views, someone who doesn't have principles. And I think that couldn't be further than the truth. A strong bridge builder is someone who is bringing their full life story to the table and has the humility to listen to someone else's. And you and I both share music as a passion.
Yes.
And the best metaphor that I could share here is when I was first learning how to play jazz music, I went to the Conservatory of Music here, and on the first day of jazz camp, the guy says, put your instruments away, because the number one skill in playing jazz music is listening. And we spent the entire first session listening to John Coltrane and Miles Davis and Oscar Peterson and all the greats. And so when I played in groups like that, and I played in my other bands around here in Milwaukee, you realize that it's about listening. It's about a call and response. It's about bringing your story, but you want to hear others as well and put your original take. When you're riffing back and forth on it, that's what a call and response truly is. And finally, it's about being fully present in conversations. Like jazz is an improvised art form. And so if you're not fully present, you're going to be, you know, you're not going to be contributing to the conversation on stage. You're going to be somewhere else. And so I share that as three parts for people to think about how to be a bridge builder in your own life, not just in politics, but in any, you know, in your daily lifestyle.
Yeah, I that's a great analogy, jazz, and the idea of listening. And I think too, the thing that social media likes to do is sort of take, you brought up Dr. King, bring up Martin Luther King's words. I think it's Martin Luther King. It's always there with his image. I don't know what, if he said it, but silence is violence, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And I think that, you know, that gets pushed out anytime there's like a major world or social conflict. If you're not, excuse me, if you're not saying something, you are part of the problem.
Right.
But I think in this social media landscape that we're now in. Silence may have been violence back in the 60s, you know, when not everybody had an instrument. And by instrument, I mean a social media account where they can just fire it off. So many people are not listening. They're almost going from one trending outrage to the next,
right,
playing their freaking instrument, not listening, not pulling back, not observing the larger landscape of, are you winning this game of chess or are you just a pawn in somebody else's game? And so I think that that is that. I'm not saying don't say something on an issue that you believe is important, but I think what I am saying is don't do it for the social media clout or to, you know, just piss off your neighbor who doesn't like a flag that you're flying in your yard or whatever. Do it to really have an honest and humble look at what's true and how you can perpetuate truth in this world.
Well said.
I think.
Yeah, well said. I think that's very wise. I think it is. This is a time for people to make their voices heard, to be participating and sharing your views on topics. And the distinction we're making here is that you want to you want to be rooted in your convictions and be rooted in a curiosity about how other people are thinking and living your life, and do that if no other reasons for self-interest, the self-interest of wanting to make a stronger argument, of wanting to make real change in your community, as opposed to just being a kind of a slacktivist who's just putting something out and not moving the needle on an issue. You make real change by building coalitions in this country. You don't make change by just being by yourself and being, you know, preaching to the choir in your echo chamber. And by the way, a third reason for doing operating in this way that often does not get talked about is for your own health. The psychologists have found that you will show up healthier every single day if you're not harboring this rage and anger against your fellow human beings on a daily basis. If you're coming with an approach of grace and understanding and curiosity, you're going to be happier every day and probably live a longer life. So for no other reason, do it for those reasons. And to go back to the musical metaphor, the most inclusive spaces I've ever felt were in my bands, whether it was a rock band, a funk band, or a hip hop band, or my folk band, or a jazz group. It was people who genuinely had empathy, people who genuinely wanted to hear each other's stories, who truly could see you and hear you at the same time. And because you create that kind of open and inclusive space, the music and the art you're creating was so much better. Because it's like a 1+1=3 kind of dynamic. When you're truly kind of jiving and jamming together in that open mindset, you're reaching a new plateau. So to use a football analogy here, it's not about
that's
meeting.
That's good. Go right from music to football. I could feel all the people who don't like music or don't play music being like, can I just get a football analogy for
this
thing?
Let's get that one in there. It's not about meeting on the 50-yard line. It's about meeting on a new playing field, you know, so
like a baseball diamond or
you could meet on a baseball diamond, you know, soccer field, you know, wherever you might meet. But the point being is that because you made this point really well, that like this podcast is not ideologically centrist, I think is what you were trying to say. And so that's what the 50-yard line would be. Look, there might be some good solutions at the 50-yard line, but you know, a lot of Dr. King's solutions were initially seen as very radical. That might have been way off on one side or the other. And the key, though, is to build in his case, a multiracial, multigenerational kind of coalition for change. And that's an evolutionary process. So it's not about this kind of transactional kind of give and take and you wind up at the 50-yard line with some solution that no one likes. It's about listening and having an evolution of thought that meets on that soccer field or that baseball diamond.
Yeah. And, you know, I appreciate what you like. I think people who listen to this podcast know that ideologically, there's a lot of issues. Maybe I lean one way or another on, but my point isn't even to drive my ideology home. It's just to seek more facts for people to listen to and make their own decision. Like, I'm not here to tell you one way or another. I don't think that people listen to that in an effective way.
Right.
And I think just getting information out there is maybe the most effective way to, over time, bring about actual change, I hope. But I don't know. You know, so, I mean, I go through spurts of being hopeful and then a little bit, you know, like, oh, gosh, how are we going to do this with all of the finance up against truth, with all of, you know, the social media wave. And now, you know, you kind of have like it's only getting more advanced technology. Yeah. And we've seen that as technology grows. I feel like Midwest Nice almost it's an inverse relationship.
Yeah.
You know, as technology progresses more and more, like people meeting face to face, people picking up the phone and calling. You ever get a text message and you're like, oh, to hell with this guy, you know, but if they would have called and said, yeah, man, sure. Or just sure.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, sure. As opposed to sure.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think
did this happen recently for you?
No? Oh, it okay. happens all the time. It happens all the time, especially with text messaging is people or emails. People are reading an email or a text message from their place of their most insecurity. And so therefore they will attribute kind of maybe their worst case scenario in their mind or how they're feeling in that moment onto the words you put on paper. So I think anytime you can call somebody and have a conversation as opposed to text with them or, you know, blast something on social media. And then also, I think just not be afraid to have conversations with people in your family who you disagree with, your friends who you disagree with, not avoid the topics, but again, so much can really be like my favorite thing to do in a conversation with someone I disagree with is to find genuine and new ways of asking the same question. And that's why, you know, and I think by asking somebody, why do they believe that? Well, how do you think this is going to work? Like just finding these ways of saying why and get to the root of their basis. And then you at least have something, you know exactly where they're coming from. And then maybe you can think of a way to satisfy what they want with another solution. But if you can't even get to the root of what somebody whose mind you're trying to change wants, how are you ever going to change it?
Absolutely. And certainly someone who doesn't feel seen or heard, they're not going to be changing any opinions because you're more in a fight or flight mentality as opposed to a listen and learn mentality. By the way, one superpower for doing that, which you have in spades, is comedy. You know, comedy, you know, there's a phrase in our space, which is it's hard to hate up close, but even further, it's hard to hate someone if you're laughing together too. And so you're putting some really good vibes, you know, out into the universe with comedy. And I'll share just one example. I think for people to hear something concrete might be helpful with this. So the last organization I ran, Millennial Action Project, now called Future Caucus, has these chapters in different states around the country. And it's Democrats, Republicans, Independents, young elected officials who have a fresh perspective. And in Mississippi, we had a chapter. And the legislators at their first happy hour, so a lot of alcohol involved, by the way, in bridge building as well, is they brought up the issue of their flag. The Mississippi state flag has had a Confederate emblem on it, and they felt like maybe we should change this for future generations. And at that time, it was like 2017, they felt like some of the members who were part of this caucus, it's called a Future Caucus, didn't feel like they could move it. It's just too controversial, too radioactive of an issue. But they kept talking, they kept drinking, they kept building relationships. They built genuine friendships through this whole process. Well, you fast forward to 2020, and in the context of the George Floyd and the racial reckoning that we're having in this country, that same group, which had been meeting regularly, working on different issues from workforce to all kinds of issues, they decided to take up this one more time. And within the caucus, they'd built enough of a consensus, Democrats and Republicans, let's change our state flag. So they voted on it, agreed to it as a caucus. They brought it to the state legislature. passes the state legislature in a very red state. Republicans have a supermajority with roughly about 75% of the to 80% of the legislature. And the Republican governor signs it into law. And then the people got to create a new flag that's more emblematic of the future of that state, where young people felt like they could have a stake in their future. And it was good morally. It was good in many other ways. It felt like they would be able to attract more business to the state as well. That to me is what transformative change looks like. This was not like 50 plus one people got on board with it. It was 75 to 80%. And I know one of the Republican legislators who's part of our group lost his office probably on that vote. And he felt like that was one of the most important votes he had taken. And so my point being that this went from something that was radioactive, we can't talk about this at all. You keep talking, you keep respecting each other, you know, you continue having those beers, and then the time is right. And all of that comes to a head when you really trust each other and they're able to get this passed. We've seen examples like that all across the country. The question is, do those examples get into the zeitgeist or not? When we pass bipartisan gun violence prevention or climate change legislation, or we pass gerrymandering reform in different states, all with bipartisan support, does that get the attention? Do people tune into that? Or do we choose not to tell those stories? And that's a big part of my calling right now, is to bring those stories to the forefront.
I think, very well said. The first point you're making is that change is... in this, again, bringing up the social media thing, a lot of what we're kind of like a bunch of fixers.
Yeah.
A little bit, because we have this power, I guess, like a social media platform where it's democratized in a way that anybody can say anything. So to a degree, everybody wants to fix the problem or at least sound off on why it's wrong, as opposed to looking at sort of a long term thing. So I think long term change and focusing even not just on this election coming up, but whoever gets in office, it's going to take, like, the engagement needs to continue and it needs to be pushed whatever side you're on, and having these conversations and not being afraid to talk to people on the other side of the aisle, and therefore not villainizing people on the other side of the aisle, even if they are so far from what you believe. Having a conversation is only going to help and allow them to see your humanity, you to see theirs, and again, find that common ground.
And like I said, and I'd be curious if you have any reflections on this, just the role of comedy. I feel like the way that you've been able to build bridges in a lot of ways, and I'm not just talking about left versus right. I feel like you've built a really powerful bridge between the coasts and the Midwest. You know, there are all kinds, you know, when I'm, whether it's in New York, D.C. or L.A., people have their various stereotypes about, you know, the Midwest. And you're able to, in some ways, bring humanity to that through comedy. And I actually think that's really important, because right now we have like politics by stereotype. And that, I think, is helping to drive some of the division right now. But if you can help start a conversation through comedy across all these different differences, you can start off on a different foot. And, I was just thinking about this the other day, like, you know, The Daily Show, they were trying to find a host, right? And they ultimately kind of go back to Jon Stewart and have this kind of revolving cast. And I think about this in my world with the different commentators and the journalists who have national platforms. We're the people from the Midwest, the people who are like, who can bring that Midwestern voice. And so this is not just my plug for The Daily Show to hire you as a as a correspondent,
yeah,
which they should do. But on top of that, to be elevating more Midwestern voices.
Well, thank you for the kind words. I think to your point, comedy, anytime you can make people laugh, you can make people listen. And it's also kind of walking a line and really, you know, there's a lot realizing what are the hills to die on, you know, or what are the things to really go all out for. Like, you want to say something is wrong when something is wrong. But if you say something is wrong and it makes the people who believe that wrong dig in deeper into their thing, then is what you're doing actually effective? You know, it goes back to the silence is violence. But yeah, also just blindly saying your opinion that you borrowed from someone else off of social media, that's violence too, you know? So it's like, I think it's twofold. I think one is, if you are in comedy, or I myself in comedy, it's usually trying to think like, most of the show I want to bring people together, you know? And then there may be one or two things where I think this is something we can all agree on, but it's how do you frame it? And the only way you can frame it is by talking to a lot of people that you disagree with, understanding how they can hear it, you know, because I think at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We do. And I think people on the right are more hesitant to allow government to control their lives. And people on the left are more hesitant to allow big business to control their lives. But what we all can agree on is none of us want to be controlled by like a system, yeah. You know? So how can we find ways that maybe are outside of the options that we're getting from politicians and from media outlets? And how can we find more creative ways? It just takes a lot of work,
yeah,
on behalf of everybody listening to this podcast now.
It's worth it though, because I grew up in the same area that you grew up, here in Brookfield / Elm Grove, in that school district. And there was almost no one who looked like me or shared my background in that school system. And yet we were able to build community together. We were able to build a lot of great things together. And, you know, it was really an honor to just officiate the wedding of one of those friends from that, you know, stage of life. And I've reflected on that a lot, because I saw many temptations in those years to just isolate myself. No one here, you know, kind of understands my background, you know, my parents being immigrants from India. And for those who are tuning in who don't know what Brookfield and Elm Grove is, it's a when you and I were going to school in those areas, it
was very white.
Yeah, it was like 90. I think I looked it up on Wikipedia once. It was like 98% white in those days. It's diversified a little bit since then. But the point being, though, is could have isolated, but instead was part of a larger whole. Music was a really important reason for that. Honestly, if I didn't have music, I probably would have gone down a different track. But the work that you're describing is worth it, because that story is a microcosm of what America is. The fact that we can be fish out of water in these communities and yet find positive ways to associate with each other. Did I hear things that were insensitive or not the best things, you know, hurled at me growing up? Absolutely. But I didn't think it was with bad intent. It might have been due to lack of exposure. But it was important to be able to build those positive associations. And when you zoom out, America has never been tried before. This experiment in creating a diverse democracy where we come from all these different backgrounds, we look different, and we try and coexist and reconcile our differences through the system of government, has never succeeded in the past before. And yet we've been struggling, but doing better than any other previous society has before. And so it's worth it. It's a hard thing, like you were saying. But I've just seen too much beauty in the days I had in my formative years growing up here. When I look back on that, I've a smile because of the ideas that we're talking about. So it's definitely worth it.
Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on and for, you know, being somebody to like take your story and transcend it and see how you can kind of take your microcosm and translate it to a larger thing across the country. So appreciate you. And thanks, if people want to follow what you're doing, how can they find you?
Yeah, just on social media, at Stephen Olicara on X and Instagram and all that good stuff. And then the organization that's working on storytelling to bridge divides, it's called Bridge Entertainment Labs.
Awesome. Folks, that's all the time we have now. But if you want to listen to my full conversation, just check out the Cripes Cast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.
Where's the sports? Check us out over the air for coverage. Here on our stream, we've got more news, talk, and community-minded conversation coming up in just a few minutes. This is Civic Media.